Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hearts and let us pray. Father, we are grateful to you for this morning. Today is the first Sunday of the year 2025. You graciously carried us across 2024. And brought us into this new year. We know that it is your doing, O God, and we are careful to give you all the glory for it. We know, Father, that you are about to do a new thing in our lives, because your word says we should not consider the former things. Behold, you are about to do something new. In this year, may you make a way where there seems to be no way. May you make a highway in the desert. May you create waters in the wilderness. Let our lives be progressively and significantly better than they were in 2024. In the name of Jesus. As we've gathered this morning, we trust that you have a word for us. We're saying, Father, speak to us and show us your way so that it can be well with us. There are green pastures that we desire to land in. There are still waters we want to be led by. Let your word guide us in the name of Jesus. And by the end of this morning's sermon, may we see our way clearly and may we resolve to do our very best for you. In Jesus' mighty name, let the people of God say, Amen. Would you like to put your hands together for Jesus and bless his name, please? Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. And tell your neighbor, in case you haven't seen him or her yet, Happy New Year. All right. God bless you. Amen. All right. May I remind us all that the first Sunday of a new year has been set aside as a consecration and rededication service. So our times of restoration today, being the first Sunday of 2025, is a consecration and rededication service. And somebody say an amen to that. Amen. To be consecrated means to be set apart or to be separated unto something, usually something noble and something right. And to be dedicated to something is to be committed to it and to be devoted to it. And during the service, what we are telling ourselves is that we want to really be set apart to the Lord for his purposes, for anything and everything that he wants to do in our lives. Then also, we want to commit ourselves to him. Is it necessary? Yes, it is. Because what happens is that on the sea of life, sometimes we drift away from the Lord. And there's a need to always come back, and whenever we realize that we've drifted off, realign ourselves to the Lord and reattach ourselves to Jesus, who is the anchor for our souls. Hallelujah. So that's what this service is about. And I trust that the word of God that I have for us today will help us to do just that. Will you please turn your Bibles with me to Leviticus chapter 22 and reading from verse 20. Leviticus 22, reading from verse 20. It says, do not present an animal with defects, because the Lord will not accept it on your behalf. If you present a peace offering to the Lord from the head or the flock, whether it is to fulfill a vow or is a voluntary offering, you must offer a perfect animal. It may have no defect of any kind. Amen. You must not offer an animal that is blind, crippled, or injured, or that has a skin sore or scabs. Such animals must never be offered on the altar as a special gift to the Lord. I thought somebody was going to say amen to that. Malachi chapter 1 verse 6 to 8 is the second scripture. The Lord of heaven's armies, or the Lord of hosts, says to the priests, a son honors his father, and a servant respects his master. If I am your father and master, where are the honor and respect I deserve? You have shown contempt for my name, but you ask, how have we ever shown contempt for your name? You have shown contempt by offering defiled sacrifices on my altar. Then you ask, how have we defiled the sacrifices? The answer, you defiled them by saying the altar of the Lord deserves no respect. When you give blind animals as sacrifices, isn't that wrong? Somebody say, that ain't right. And isn't it wrong to offer animals that are crippled and diseased? Somebody say, that ain't right. Try giving gifts like that to your governor and see how pleased he is, says the Lord of heaven's armies. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. All right. Now, God in these two scriptures we just read was raising an objection to the type of offerings that his people were offering. He was saying, I don't like. Why? Because they were offering blind goats, lame sheep, diseased cows. And basically, everything was wrong. Oh, help me. Everything was wrong with what they were offering to the Lord. And the message that God had for his people was this: I want the absolute best from you. That's all he's saying. I want you to give me your very best. Don't just give me anything at all. I don't just want anything at all from you. I want the very best from you. Hallelujah. Now, this same expectation that God had of his people under the old covenant is what he has of us under the new covenant, that you and I should present to him and offer to him nothing but our very best. He expects it. He demands it. Hallelujah. And that is why we've declared by the grace of God that this year, 2025, is a year where we are determined to give our very best to the Lord. So 2025, giving my best to you, Lord. When I say 2025, you respond with giving my best to you, Lord. 2025. And for the third one, let your hand be raised as if you are swearing an oath to the Lord. 2025. And by the grace of God, that is what we will do. So help us God. Hallelujah. So I started sharing this message with you during our watch night service, and I'm continuing with it. And I explained to you why we must give our best to the Lord. Number one, because God gave his best for us. I mean, if somebody has given his best for you, does he not deserve to receive the best in return? He does. Sometimes maybe that is where the arguments and the struggle erupt between husbands and wives, between couples. Because when one party feels that I'm giving my best, but I'm not getting a corresponding response from the other party, it leads to a lot of conflict and misunderstanding. If you are close to your spouse, ask him or her, so which of us has been giving our very best? Masa, she's right behind you. Ask her. You to go and look for your own. She's here. And then we are here. Of course, you know the answer now. But I believe that by the grace of God, all of us are giving our best. Amen. Amen. I said amen. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So God deserves our very best because he gave us his best. Now, another reason why we must give our best to the Lord is that it is the right response. Amen. And it's the most reasonable thing to do. The most reasonable thing to do with yourself and with your life is to give the very best, your very best for that matter, to the Lord. I mean, what else is greater? What else is better? What else is more meaningful in this life than to give the best of your everything to the Lord? Because everything else that you give your best to in this life, even though it may not be wrong, most of the things, they don't have eternal rewards. And they just end when your life ends here on earth. So if you give your life to football, do you see? In heaven, there is no Premier League. There's no Spanish La Liga. There's no German Bundesliga. There's none of that. So once your life ends here, that's it. There's no Ghana Premier League. Certainly not. You know? So I'm making a point to you that when you give your best to the Lord, it is the most reasonable thing to do. It's the most sensible thing to do. The third reason why we must give our best to the Lord, as I shared with you, is because it proves our reverence for God, and it's also a sincere expression of our devotion to him. When you give your best to somebody or to something, it shows how much respect you have for that person or for that thing, how much you revere that thing. Amen. And God was asking his people that the sort of offerings that you're bringing to me, if you present them to, let's say, your member of parliament, what will be his response? What will be his reaction? I'm sure you'll be very, very angry and upset and feel that you have insulted me and disrespected me by what you're presenting to me. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Often, a lot of what we present to the Lord is an insult to him. Looking at what he has done for us, looking at what he has given to us, looking at what he has blessed us with, looking at where he lifted us from and where he's positioned us. And in return, we just offer him anything, biara biara. We just offer him things that are totally or woefully inadequate, comparing what he has done for us and what he has placed in our lives. In case you don't know, may I inform you that every blessing that you have and every good thing that you have came from the Lord. You may not believe it. It doesn't change the truth and the reality that every good thing that you have in this life, it came from the Lord. In other words, he's the one who has permitted you to have it. You may not serve him, you may not even believe in him, but it is still from him. Because what did the Bible say? He causes the sun to shine on both the good and the evil. And so does he cause the rain to fall on both the good and the evil. So there are nations of the world where the name of Jesus is not lifted up. But God still blesses them. And if it's a blessing, it comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. So one of the struggles that we must not have this year is to take of what the Lord has given to us and to present it back to him. And to take of the choicest and of the very best of what God has given to us and to present it back to him. That was the problem, or one of the challenges that God had with Cain, when he and his brother Abel came to present an offering to the Lord. What Abel offered was the choicest, was the very best. What Cain offered, I mean, the Bible doesn't say so, but it suggests that he just gathered things. And that's what we do with God sometimes. We just put things together. Let's just go and give it to God. You know, he's okay. After all, he has everything and he doesn't need anything from us. But you must understand that the quantum and the quality of what you give to the Lord is a reflection of your reverence and of your honor to the Lord. Should I say it again? The quantum of the size. Nyaudi mera denu. Senya esu efa. Ena senye tienu. Echle nidia udima iradi. So you can always tell. I think that it becomes a problem with God when he sees what we do for other things and for other people. All right, like how much you pump into taking care of yourself, into taking care of your family. Now, must you take good care of yourself? Certainly you must. After all, the Bible says love your neighbor as yourself. It means that if you don't love yourself, you can't love your neighbor properly. So you should be able to pamper yourself sometimes. So that's not a problem. To spend on yourself. To spend on your family. To do things. To have a comfortable life. To build a beautiful house. To buy a beautiful car. There's nothing wrong with any of these things. Do not get me wrong. But there is a discrepancy. Something isn't right. Where you do all these things for yourself. For your family. For your business, for your political party, for your football club. But then when it comes to God, it's like anything at all goes. And God is explaining to us that whenever we do that, we are telling him that we don't respect you and we hold you in contempt. And sad to say, many of us Christians are like that. That even what we are supposed to give to him, but the arrangement he had, tithes and offerings and all of these things, it is a struggle. So check yourself, ask yourself that, my money, my resources, how much of it do I channel it into God-related things? It's a simple exercise. It's not rocket science. Simple exercise that everyone must subject himself or herself to. That what I have, what God has given to me, how much of it do I give back to support the things of God, to support the house of God, to support the people of God? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So when we give our best to the Lord, ladies and gentlemen, what we are demonstrating is our reverence for him. And it's an expression of our devotion to the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. And another reason why we must give our best to the Lord is because when we do so, God will favor us and reward us. How many are expecting God to favor you this year? All right. You sit there and don't raise your hand. You know, you see what will be chasing you all through the year. How many are expecting God to bless you and reward you this year? And I prophesy into your life that as you give your best to the Lord, that is exactly what He will do for you. Do you know that a lot of things in this life depend on favor? Yeah. To be favored means to be chosen. To be favored means to be liked. And sometimes there are other options. But when you are favored, you become the beneficiary of preferential treatment. You benefit from excessive kindness. And I can tell you without any shadow of doubt that till you get a certain kind of favor in your life, things aren't going to get any better. Till God favors you, till God Himself blesses you, nothing much is going to change. But you see, God, He sees, and He's also just. And the Bible says He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, usually, diligence comes in when you're trying to do your best. So if you see somebody who is diligent about something that he or she is doing, it's an indication that the person is putting in his or her best. And God sees us when we do that. Look, he no sleep, he no bed at all. He can see. He can see it when you are forcing for Him, and He can see it when you are not forcing for Him. He can see it when we are just doing anything, anyway, anyhow, where He's concerned. But then when it comes to other things, when it comes to your schooling, when it comes to your business, when it comes to whatever it is, come and see efforts, come and see diligence, come and see concentration, come and see perseverance, come and see determination. He can see. And so when He gets people who give Him their very best and are diligent in their service to Him, Himself also comes. Then He begins to favor them and to bless them by heart. Receive the by heart blessings of the Lord in 2025. But one of the things you got to do is to give the Lord your very best. Put your hands together for Jesus. So I've just summarized what I shared on the 31st night. Now, I'm continuing in that same vein, giving my best to you, Lord. And this second part is my life, my heart. My life, my heart. And I am connecting that and relating that to giving our best to the Lord. Giving my life and giving my heart. Hallelujah. God is not expecting us to bring cows and goats and sheep to Him. Once upon a time, that was the expectation He had. And the relationship that He had with the people of Israel required that they present offerings to Him. But He's not asking that of us under this dispensation, under the new covenant. But every single one of us has something connected to us that He wants, that we must give to Him. Every one of us. There's nobody who doesn't have anything to give to the Lord. And of what to give to the Lord, there are two that stand out very predominantly that we must present to the Lord. Number one, my life. Number two, my heart. Everybody say, my life. Then say, my heart. Hallelujah. Yeah. And I'm submitting to you, ladies and gentlemen, that if we are going to give our best to the Lord, then we must present our lives and our hearts properly. Properly to the Lord. Our lives and our hearts must be properly and seriously presented to the Lord. Because you know that it's possible to give yourself to something, but not to give yourself totally. Is that not so? Yeah. It is possible to do that. You can have somebody working for you in your shop. The person is working for you. The person is on your payroll and all of that. So even though the person is there, the person from every indication is committed to you, you can see that the person hasn't really put himself or herself into what he's doing. Hallelujah. If you take politics, for example, there are people who have different political parties' membership cards. They belong to that party. But you can always tell those who have given their lives and given their hearts to the political party. On paper, all of them have done so. When you call for the register of members, membership registration booklet, you see their names there. So many people. But although all those names can be found in the register, there are those who have actually, you see, when you register, you are saying something. You're saying that I'm committed to this political party. I belong to this political party. I don't belong to this other party. That's what you're saying. And it means something. And it's not something to be disregarded. Good. But there is another level of being part of a political party where you have given yourself and you have given your heart to what you are doing. Hallelujah. Another example I can give you is marriage. You can be married, but you are just married in principle. Yourself is not in the marriage. You have a marriage certificate. If the one you are married to dies, you are the next of kin. If he has some money, it will come to you. You will get the benefits and everything. But there is one fundamental thing that cannot be ignored. That you did the marriage inside, but your heart is not in it. And your life is not in it at all. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes that's what we do with God. Have we given our hearts to Jesus? Yes. Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Yes. If you die today, will you make it to heaven by the grace of God? Yes. Have you read somewhere before in the Bible that God is going to wipe our tears away? Right, he's going to wipe our tears away. Now, I believe that some of us, when we stand before him, will cry. We'll cry not because we didn't make it to heaven, but the crying will be the hurt, will be as a result of the hurt and the pain and the disapproval that the Father would express to us, because it's like, I did everything for you, but in return, you did not truly You did not truly give me your life and your heart the way you could have. Have you seen somebody who has given his life and his heart to something before? Have you seen anything like that before? All right, so you help me preach. When somebody has given his life and his heart to something, what are some of the things you see? All right, help me now. The first one, they always talk about it. That's true. You can't stop yourself from talking about that thing that you have given your life and your heart to. You always talk about it. It's a sign. Somebody mentioned something else. Dedication. For many years, whenever they do this FIFA Best Footballer Award, there were two people who always played musical chairs with that award. It was either Cristiano Ronaldo or it was Lionel Messi. Ronaldo senior is Messi. You see, you're trying to create a problem in a consecration and dedication service that I'm trying to have. Pastor Chris at the back, he'll beat you after. He will appear here. All right. Now, there's a reason why for many years, it is now that they've grown old. I'm a boy. You see, but they're still scoring small where they are. But I don't think that the last awards, their names were on the short list. It's one of the few times, I think it's the first time for many years that none of their names appeared. But the reason why they won that award many times is because they are very dedicated to the football. And they'd actually given their lives and their hearts to it. And it is so clear that they were different from everybody else. A lot of people play football. A lot of people are professional footballers. A lot. Some make some pretty good money. Do you have any footballers around? Who? Charlie, because the money that those guys make, if they land a good club, and they are also paid well. Lightning speed. That is the tyrannical, the titan, because you see, that's what you see. That's what you see also. People pay tithe when they earn 1,000 Ghana cedis a month. And you tithe in a 100 cedis. And I say, 100,000 pounds a week. And you tithe in a 10,000 pounds per week. Now, this is one of the lowest. Because there are people earn 600,000 pounds a week. They don't calculate it in months. Week. That's 10,000. And I'm gonna see this man. I am here. But so be your calculation, mommy. So 10,000 pounds times 22. That's 220,000 Ghana cedis every week. Times four. No, a month. Now, when it comes to weekly calculation, number times by four. Now, you monthly aim. In 880,000 Ghana cedis a month. Times 12. So, do you understand why it can become a problem? Because Oshie is a hey. Then that is when they start to develop imaginary fights with the pastor of the church, so that they won't have to show any commitment anymore. So why we? He said this, he said that. O'Malley, the only reason why you are doing all of those is because you don't want to. You don't want to do that. Anyway, back to what I was talking about. I am asking you to help me identify what you see with people who have given their lives and their hearts to something that they're doing. Tell me more. Tell me more. What else? They advertise it, which is similar to what he said. They talk about it. What else? They are truthful with it. Yes. I heard two things. Time. Time. They put in a lot of time into what they are doing. They give it a lot of attention. Anybody who is giving his life and his heart to something, it's one of the clear signals that that's what he's done. He gives the thing a lot of time. He gives it a lot of attention. He perseveres with it. That's what you mentioned. Perseverance. You see that with people, they don't quit so easily. They will meet challenges. They will meet difficulties. They will encounter obstacles. But they don't quit. They press on and they persevere. They also have a lot of focus. And they concentrate on what they are doing. Say that again. They put in a lot of energy. Don't cry when you cry. Loved one makes me sad, dear one. My song is working, is that not so? Don't you know you never cry alone? Energy. When you've given your life and your heart to something, Charlie, the energy and the effort way they pump into the thing is not easy at all. And we can go on and on and on. And my time is almost up. But now, let's bring it back home to us. Let's look at a couple of scriptures and then I will end. It's a consecration and rededication service. What are the two things that I said if we really want to give our best to the Lord, we should focus on doing, giving to the Lord, our lives and our hearts? Look at Psalms 25 verse 1. Psalms 25 verse 1. Oh Lord, I give my life to you. That's King David. That's somebody who is making a pledge and a commitment to the Lord. I give my life to you. That means that my life belongs to you. You gave it to me. You gave me life. And I'm giving it back to you. Alright? That's why you can sing songs like Famiye Niya Gope Meye Wo Moja Somfo. What do you want na to me? Here I am, it's like I've given my life and my all to you. Then you know the song. I'm sure Pastor Elvis must have raised it today. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. You know what? Many of us should be singing another version of this song. And this is how that version goes. My life is for me. To me I belong. I keep myself for me. For me, to me I belong. Here I am. I keep myself. I keep myself from you. Oh, that's the version we should be singing. Because, yes, we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. There's no contention about that. But is it really true when we say that we have given our lives to Him? Look at another scripture, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. This time, let's read from the Good News Translation. I kind of like how it puts it. It says, "So then, my friends, because of God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you." What must you do? "Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to His service and pleasing to Him. This is the true worship that you should offer." Note that Paul was not writing to a bunch of unbelievers. If you check the salutation at the beginning of the letter to the Romans, it says that he's writing to the church in Rome. So it's a letter that was addressed to believers. And here in the 12th chapter, he's saying to them that give yourselves or present yourselves or offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God. They were Christians, all right. But he must have written what he wrote because he realized that there was something missing. Presenting themselves, presenting their bodies, presenting their all to the Lord. Again, to the same church in Rome, he says, and this time he's testifying, you know, about himself. Romans 14, 7 to 8, New Living Translation. Romans 14, 7 to 8. "For we don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it is to honor the Lord. And if we die, it is to honor the Lord." So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Now, it is only somebody who has presented his life without restraints who can say something like that. Metiasia, metemao. It means say, my life truly, 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 it is for you. And we cannot give our best to the Lord if we don't satisfy this initial thing of actually and truly and properly giving our lives to the Lord. The other one, our hearts. Hearts. Proverbs 23 verse 26. Proverbs 23 26. It says, "Oh my son, give me your heart. Give me your heart. Make your eyes take delight in following my ways. Give me your heart." Pawakuma and mami. Your heart is the center and the seat of your physical life and your spiritual life. The center and the seat. Your heart is also the seat of your will, your intellect, your emotions. Your heart is a fountain. It's like a fountain from which your emotions, your passions, your desires, your endeavors spring out from. That's what your heart simply is. And it is a very key part of you. It's an essential part of you. Your heart is very important. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." So everything to do with your life, physical, spiritual life, to do with your choices, to do with your emotions, your desires, your endeavors, your feelings, they spring forth from this thing called heart. And it is possible to be doing something, but it is not with all your heart, which is actually what God is expecting from us. You will notice that in his dealings with many of the kings of Judah, there were only a few that he said of them that they served God or they obeyed God wholeheartedly. They are commending in Edemano. So it's possible to give just a part of your heart to something. And sometimes in this Christian experience, in this Christian walk, that's what we do. We say, okay, we say that. But is it really true? Because many times, what we are giving to God is just a portion, a section, a segment of it. And for us to be able to give our very best to the Lord, we must push and drive to get to the place where we've actually given our hearts and our lives properly to him. I like to use this analogy about this life and heart thing. So, if, let's say I come to you and I tell you that I want to buy a car for you. All right? So, I'm taking you to Toyota. You receive it. All right? It's good. Receive it. Toyota, I'm going to get a car for you. We go there and I take you to a room where there's a beautiful Toyota 4Runner. Since you are the one who received it, what color do you want? Don't say red at the end. What color? Black. All right. It was a black car. So I go there, I show you a beautiful, shining, sleek Toyota 4Runner 2024 special edition. Don't just say, you look at the car. Beautiful, full option. Is that not so? The interior. With the scent in the work can, Mukrana. Oh, my bow. Tear rubber. Beautiful light. Everything. I present the key to you. You open the door. You go and sit in. You see the start knob. You know, the latest cast name fact. King Shemen, button B, oppressia. Then one, yes. You drive one of those cars, okay? It's a complete machine. When me and me are there, no, so sakano, then just so. The light comes on and everything. In fact, the light doesn't come on. It's like nothing is. Is that, this is the old type. We don't like. Hey, Pastor Nana, Elvis says I should tell you that you are warned. Is it his car that he's looking at? It's not. It's not this one. Compare nice one, Nidi. Hey, why the car doesn't start? I said, what is wrong? Then you go and open the. Baby, are you being your friends? Bonnet. Now come back. I say boot. Boot in the airway chair. No, yes, sir. Open the bonnet. Then you open the bonnet. Really? There's no engine. There's no engine in the car. As it was standing there, and we're looking at it. The car that I said I've given to you. Beautiful car. Beautiful exterior. Beautiful interior. Sleek. Everything. Hey. Yes. Elvis, is it working? It's not working. Right. I mean, can you imagine the excitement when I take you to the showroom and you go and see this thing? But the car is not starting. And the reason is because the engine is not in it. So that's what the heart is. You see, you can have a life. You can have a life.
But till the heart is attached to it, it doesn't mean anything. It's not going anywhere. It won't work. It won't work. Yeah. So on this day, at this consecration and rededication service, we got to be sincere to ourselves. You know, don't think about any. Don't think about anybody. We are fond of doing that. We're always thinking about somebody. Like when the preaching is coming, it's like, give it to them, give it to them. And somebody else comes to your mind. No. It's you and your God. And the question that we want to ask ourselves is, who has got me? Who has me? Who really has control over me? Is it God or is it me? Yeah. Then what it is, which may be encouraging piece of news, is that yes, we've given him our lives, we've given him our hearts to a certain extent, but it's not enough. Because there are other things that you've given your life and your heart to. And it is to a far higher and to a far greater extent. And God doesn't want to be second place. He doesn't want to play second fiddle in your life. So on this day, we just want to pray and say to God, that God, when we weigh ourselves and we weigh our lives, we realize that it could be far better. And I tell you this, the degree to which we properly give our hearts and our lives to the Lord is the degree to which we'll do our best for him. That's why it starts off with that. To actually properly give him our lives and to properly give him our hearts. And I asked you, when somebody has given his life and his heart to something, what are the things you see? So that's what we must work towards. That's what we must drive at to see in our lives. So that we can also confidently say that, I have actually given my life and my heart to God. I give him time, my energy, my devotion, my dedication, all the beautiful things that you mentioned. And by the grace of God, we are going to do this year. Hallelujah. By our own strength and effort, it ain't going to work. That's why we need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us. And that's one of the reasons why he's been given, to help us. He's the one who's been called to aid us and to assist us. Right where you sit, I want you to speak to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Maybe you should stand because you've been sitting for a while. Just stand and talk to God for a couple of minutes. The service will come to a close very soon. Just speak to the Lord and tell him that, Father, I thank you for your word today. And oh God, I realize that I can do better than I am doing. I take a look at my commitments, my devotion, the things that are dear and important to me, the effort and the energy that I put into other things, but I don't see a corresponding effort and drive towards you, towards the things of God, towards serving you, towards working for you, towards supporting your heart, helping others. I don't see much of that. Father, I admit it, that I have shortchanged you in many areas and in many ways. Today I come to you and ask for forgiveness. Holy Spirit, I need you. I need your help. Help me to set myself apart, to separate myself to the Lord in the true sense and in the proper sense of that word. Help me to dedicate myself. Today I rededicate my life unto you. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me, Holy Spirit, as I go through the year. Help me to give you my life.
in the mighty name of Jesus. Tell him, I surrender to you. I surrender. I surrender my life afresh. Yes, Lord. I give you glory.
La patala badini bayatala, la patola manina makosehe. You want to lift the prayer and say, Father, I give you my heart, I give you my energy. In the name of the Lord Jesus, makapalula, la patasotala makapaha, la katusatala makapaha. You are rededicating your life to God this afternoon. Establish a covenant this afternoon between you and your God, telling him that, Father, I'm giving my best to you this year. I'm giving my best to you this year. I'm giving you my heart. I'm giving you my life. La patala manino sahe. La pandele moko panina manino. Ayama supatala makepa. Le patale mekepada. I'm giving you the center of my life. La pataya mako telena. Ayama patala mako sabedidie. Ayama pandele mosika payadadabaya.
As every head is bowed and every eye closed, must give my heart to Jesus today. New year that's just begun. Until him and received him as my Lord and Savior. That's where you start off and you move on with a lifetime goal to him. This is a starting point and I want to pray with you. You may be physically present here. You may have joined us online. You want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I really want to give my heart to Jesus. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, wherever you are, if you need to take this step and you want me to pray with you, please lift up your prayer. Maybe you want to say, Pastor, I want to rededicate my life to him. When I assess myself and where I am at now, I can see that I've drifted away so far. Lord, you can lift up your hands also. God bless you. Now, I'm going to pray with you. I want you to join in this prayer. Let everybody pray this prayer. It will do all of us good. Say with me, dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
Today, I come to you. Just as I am.
Jesus.
Oh God.
Please forgive
me.
All my sins.
Please wash me.
Please wash
me. With your precious blood of Jesus. From today, I open my heart to this same Jesus. And I receive him as my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my everything. Please write my name in the book of life. Give me your Holy Spirit. Help me to serve you, to live for you, and to surrender totally unto you. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Father. Hearing my prayer. From today, my life, my heart, they belong to you. In Jesus' mighty name. And let everybody say, Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.